From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. 8 shark attacks so far this season off the North Carolina coast, and summer isn't even half over. It's a record-setting number and a chilling one for most people. There's no getting around the primal fear that sharks seem to trigger in humans. Time magazine recently confirmed this in a study by showing viewers scientific information about sharks and explaining that up to 100 million sharks are killed by humans each year. Fewer than 5 people are killed by sharks annually. Based on these statistics, according to Time, you're far more likely to die from a bee sting or the flu than to be killed by a shark. The study showed that information had no impact on viewers' emotional reactions to scary videos of sharks. Today, we're going to explore the questions that continue to swirl around this topic, particularly after 4 of the 8 attacks this year in North Carolina ended in very serious injuries, with 2 young people losing parts of their arms. Joining us today to help sort out the hysteria from the facts are 2 shark experts. With us by phone is one of the most interviewed shark experts in the country lately. George Burgess is the director of the Florida Program for Shark Research and the International Shark Attack File, both of which are based in the University of Florida's Museum of Natural History. George Burgess, welcome to Coastline.
Nice to be with you.
Chuck Bangley is a PhD candidate in coastal resource management at East Carolina University, currently working on a shark habitat selection study. Chuck Bangley, welcome to the program.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you are invited to join the conversation. Do you have a question about sharks or shark safety? Have the recent attacks affected your behavior at the beach? Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send your comments or questions to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. George Burgess, why are unprovoked shark attacks on the rise?
Well, the bottom line, after we discuss a series of factors that might contribute, is fundamentally that there's more humans in the water. And each year, of course, the human population grows worldwide, and with it comes a concurrent increase in the number of people visiting the sea. And, of course, there's been a real interest in aquatic sports, active aquatic sports that has grown over the years, such as surfing and sailboarding and scuba diving and things like that. And so not only are we putting more people in the water, we're doing more provocative things in areas where sharks live.
And Chuck Bangley, what are some of the factors that might be contributing to the spate of shark attacks that we've been seeing off the coast of North Carolina this season?
Well, specifically in North Carolina, the heat wave that we had in mid-June happened to coincide with when everybody got out for summer vacation, when everybody got out of school. So you had kind of a higher number of people than average going to the beaches. I mean, I certainly did. It was over 100 degrees out. On top of that, we have an annual migration of marine species that occurs off in North Carolina from about May to June. And it's not just sharks. It's things like sea turtles, schools of menhaden, large fish. Some sea mammals are involved, and that's normal. That occurs every year. The heat wave may have caused that to be a little bit more compressed than normal, but the migration in and of itself is a normal event.
Are warmer waters contributing to the fact that we've seen more shark activity?
What we found over the course of researching how sharks use habitat here in North Carolina is that temperature certainly seems to be associated with when some species are present. There's kind of a colder water shark community and a warmer water shark community that occur off North Carolina. And the colder water sharks tend to be here in the winter, and they're out of here by about May. And then the warmer water sharks move up from places like Florida and the Caribbean in about May and June, and they're part of that big northward migration. Some of those sharks will stay here for the entire summer. Others will travel as far north as Cape Cod. So temperature certainly seems to cue sharks arriving in the area, and an abnormal kind of increase in temperature like we had in June may trigger some of them to show up earlier.
George Burgess, when we're looking at the numbers, and you've tracked and compiled data on shark attacks from as far back as 1935 through last year, has North Carolina broken a record?
Well, it has, and I might point out that 1935 was the first verified shark attack in North Carolina. We actually have investigations worldwide back to the mid-1500s. So that was the first time we saw one in North Carolina, and in fact, the eight that we've had so far this year in North Carolina surpasses the annual high of five, which occurred several years ago. So this obviously is a banner year, if you will, for shark bites in North Carolina.
And clearly you've been following the North Carolina shark attacks. Are there common threads in these attacks? Are there things that you can point to that say, you know, it's the time of day, or it has to do with the activity that the person was engaging in, or is there anything to take from this?
Well, the attacks occurred, of course, in a discreet area, which is the actual area that we as humans enter most often anywhere in the world, which is the waters at a depth of 6 feet or less. And the reason why we're so many people there is because we can't swim underwater, we can't breathe underwater, so we got to keep our head above water. So that's where people enter the water, and it's, of course, where interactions with sharks that therefore occur the most. That said, when we're in the water, we're uniquely ungraceful. as we attempt to swim or wade or whatever we're doing, we're making a racket. And those irregular movements are particularly attractive to sharks, which are looking for the infirm, the injured, any sign of weakness in a prey item that they can take advantage of. And so, of course, under conditions of poor visibility, such as we see in the surf, sharks need to make quick decisions on things, and they grab at splashes. And sometimes, unfortunately, those splashes are a foot or an arm, and of course, we have an attack. In the case of several of these attacks, though, one common thread is that it was a larger shark. In North Carolina, at this time of year, that pretty much means bull shark or tiger shark. Judging by the injuries and the types of the styles of attacks, several of these no doubt were done by bull sharks.
Of course, sharks can't read state boundary signs, and we've been seeing all of this off the coast of North Carolina. Is there a reasonable explanation for why this hasn't been happening so much just to our north or south in Virginia or South Carolina?
Of course, you've hit on a hugely important point, especially from a conservation standpoint, and that is that these are highly migratory animals. They don't follow geopolitical lines, and so, of course, when we're looking to do conservation, that really comes into play. That said, we have had a number of incidents so far in South Carolina this year. We've had four already, which is about what we normally get in a year in South Carolina. So there's been a activity in both of the Carolinas, and I think it follows those environmental variables. I think as the waters have warmed from south to north, the sharks, which are following those isotherms, as we call it, the common temperatures as they move north, have come into the Carolina waters, and of course, many of their food fishes and so forth also are coming, and others are to be found. And so we've sort of seen a south to north movement on the attacks. That said, we very likely will have an attack sooner or later this summer. North of North Carolina. We had one in Delaware last year, which is a very uncommon place to have them. And we very likely could have a bite on the New Jersey coast before the summer's over. We have to just simply follow that warming water as it goes north.
And George Burgess of the International Shark Attack File at the University of Florida, that Delaware attack, that happened during the summer last year.
That's right.
And tell us again why that's so unusual off the coast
of
Delaware.
Well, first of all, Delaware is a tiny little state, so it's hard to throw a dart and hit Delaware if you're a shark, so to speak. So that's a toughie. But that said, there's not as many people, of course, going in the water as Delaware as there is in North Carolina, because there's a lot less beaches and, and also there's less opportunity. But it's farther north, and it's in you know, somewhat cooler waters. It takes a while for those waters to get warm. And the same thing goes up the coastline all the way up to Long Island and in southern New England. Someone just sent me an email yesterday of a shark that was caught off of the south coast of Long Island. It was a little sandbar shark. You know, that's early for a sandbar shark to be found off there as well. So it's clear that this unseasonably warm temperatures is having an effect all the way up the coastline.
Chuck Bangley from East Carolina University, you've been taking a look at shark habitat selection, why sharks go to certain areas. Are there places that people would be surprised that sharks frequent?
They definitely go up into the estuaries more often than I think a lot of people realize. Those sheltered areas like Pamlico Sound or Back Sound here in North Carolina, sharks will actually utilize those areas as nursery habitat, and some of the smaller species and even some of the adults will travel up there in search of food too. What we're looking at is kind of how sharks partition the habitat between species when they're within these estuaries, and we're finding that there are some that really like to hug the inlets. They like to stay in the higher salinity water. And there are others that can tolerate kind of more brackish or fresh water, and they go farther up the sounds.
And what are some of the types of sharks that you've been seeing in Pamlico Sound, for instance?
In Pamlico Sound, we have kind of six main species. It's dominated by the smooth dogfish, which is it's a small shark that's really no threat to people. They mostly eat shrimps and crabs. But we do have blacktip, sandbar sharks, and bull sharks are actually the ones that will range the farthest up the sound.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. It's Shark Sense today with George Burgess of the Florida Program for Shark Research and ECU shark researcher Chuck Bangley. If you have a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. And when we come back, we'll take a look at an email from Mike Rand. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is Coastline.